3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Your Space Journey, where we venture into the future of space exploration. Your journey begins now.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me today. I dug into the archives for this interview. I actually had interviewed SpaceX Crew 5 astronaut Dr. Koichi Wakata a couple years ago before he was even selected for this current mission that just launched, and he is now aboard the International Space Station. Dr. Wakata has accumulated more than 350 days in space, spanning 5 missions, setting a record in Japanese human spaceflight history for the longest day in space. He has flown on 3 space shuttle missions and a Soyuz mission, and became the first Japanese commander of the International Space Station. Dr. Wakata has held several key positions with JAXA, the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, including serving as JAXA Vice President and Senior Advisor. With the Crew 5 mission, Dr. Wakata made his 5th trip to space, and now that he's aboard the International Space Station, he will serve as Flight Engineer for Expedition 68. Dragon was the 3rd different type of spacecraft Dr. Wakata has flown in space.
Your Space Journey.
Konnichiwa, Dr. Wakata.
Konnichiwa, Chuck-san. Very nice to meet you.
I appreciate you joining me from Japan. I wanted to ask you, if I may, we always like to ask our guests how their interest in space began. And I understand that you were born in Saitama, Japan, and then you went on to aerospace engineering. But where did your interest in space first begin, if I may ask?
Yeah, that was when I was 5 years old, when I saw the Apollo 11 lunar landing. Of course, you know, at the time there was no Japanese astronauts and no Japanese rockets. So, of course, it was some kind of dream for me and for a lot of people around the world. But for a small boy in Japan, I thought it was something that is beyond my reach. But thanks to the international cooperation, especially on the International Space Station program, I was able to join space flying team, and I was very fortunate. I was lucky.
See, I think that's incredible, because this is before JAXA was ever even established. If I understand the history right, at that time, you were selected in 1992 as a candidate, astronaut candidate, by the National Space Development Agency of Japan. And then, of course, you went on to fly the shuttle 3 times. You were on a Soyuz. How did JAXA begin, if I can ask?
So the JAXA was established in 2013. NASA was part of the 3 organizations that merged into JAXA, and Institute of Space and Astronautical Sciences, as well as National Aeronautics Laboratory. Those 3 organizations joined to form the new JAXA in 2003. That's how it was established. I think it was a natural course of integration efforts to strengthen the technology in space and aviation or aeronautics in Japan.
See, I think that's wonderful. Now, I do want to ask you a little bit more about your space experience too. You have several records. You sent, I believe, one of the longest records for a Japanese in space. What was it like being on the space station for, I think it was 6 months at one stint? What was that experience like for you?
It's like a marathon that you have to keep your, so you have to, you know, keep a very good pace of yourself so that you don't burn out in 6 months, because every day we are really busy working on experiments and observation, and quite often we have to do a lot of maintenance tasks inside and outside of the space station. And we have cargo supply vehicles arriving, docking. So every day is different, and so it seemed to me like it was as if it was only for a couple of weeks.
Really?
I did not feel that it was for 6 months, because we were so busy.
One thing that I love is I've watched some of your videos about how you give advice for people going to the space for the first time, and I guess one thing that I thought was really impressive is you said, almost, yes, you know, take video, but put the camera down and sort of take it in with your eyes and your heart. Can you describe what it's like to go to space for the first time, or even just continue times? What's it like?
Still, I really vividly remember when I first launched on the Space Shuttle Endeavour back in January of 1996. Mm-hmm. Of course, it was the first time. I had no idea what it would be like to launch and, you know, feel the zero gravity. But the acceleration inside of a space shuttle was pretty magnificent. It was very interesting. very strong jolt at the launch pad, and it was only just 3 G's for the ascent loading, but was first time that I was able to experience that kind of a big acceleration for an extended period of more than 8 minutes. And the view was so magnificent. Of course, I have seen pictures and videos of the beautiful whole planet many times on TV and the movies, but the first time in your naked eyes to see that home planet, it was beyond description.
I could not imagine. I hope one day that a lot of our viewers and listeners out there will be able to experience just that. Now, obviously, you trained as an astronaut with NASA at first, but you've also been involved with JAXA for training astronauts. I was wondering if you could tell some of the differences between sort of NASA training or similarities between NASA astronaut training and JAXA astronaut training.
As far as the training in JAXA for human space flight is concerned, it's focused on the Japanese experiment module Kibo.
Yes.
Its systems and experiments utilization part is trained in Japan, and but other than that, like launching and returning to and from space, all of these trainings are done in either Houston at NASA Johnson Space Center, mm-hmm. or in Russia in the Gagarin Training Center, Cosmonaut Training Center. So Japanese part of training is somewhat limited compared to what we are taught in the United States and at NASA. So we are really focused on maximizing the utilization of the space station, especially in the Japanese Kibo module. And I think the methodology of teaching and training astronauts is very similar, I think, between JAXA and United States, but the scope or the areas of the training coverage is different.
Have you noticed also, obviously, since JAXA has grown, I know it's changed tremendously since 2003 when it was first started being established on that. Have you noticed changes in just the number of Japanese that want to become astronauts since then?
Well, remember that was in 2003 when JAXA was established. Around that time, we have experienced some mission failures of space operation, like in the launch vehicle operation and satellite operation. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, for about 10 years, from 2003 to 2013 timeframe, we needed to overcome the accidents, you know, and
sure.
technology issues on the HTUA launch vehicle number 6 and also Earth observation technology satellite meter number 2. And those things have occurred immediately after the establishment of JAXA. So, we have introduced like a technical management system, such as system engineering and safety mission and assurance.
Mm-hmm.
So those are done in addition to the conventional project management. And thanks to all these efforts, we were able to deliver successful results for launch vehicles and a satellite operation. And also in the space station program, in the human space program, that was the first time that Japan entered the human space program. Is that results of these successful series of successful events like assembly, launch and assembly of the Kibo module, Konotori spacecraft, that's a cargo supply vehicle, the space station.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to those results, now Japan is considered as a reliable partner of the program, of the International Space Station program. So there's a huge difference between the level of technology in human space exploration when I became an astronaut and the current status.
And I have to just commend the space program, the JAXA space program in general, because you've had so many wonderful missions. There's some active missions going on right now. I might pronounce this wrong, but Hayabusa 2 was launched in 2014. It actually rendezvoused with a near-Earth asteroid, and it's actually bringing samples back. I believe they're scheduled to return to Earth in late 2020. Is that still on track as far as you know?
Yes, exactly. So it has been a very exciting mission.
Yes.
And Hayabusa 1, the previous version, was also a very exciting event. You know, it had to compensate for a lot of systems failures, but the Hayabusa 1 safely returned the samples to Earth, and Hayabusa 2 is the successor of the Hayabusa 1. But it's been really exciting to see the touchdown, two touchdowns that the spacecraft made on the asteroid Ryugu. And yeah, and it's scheduled for a return to Earth later this year. So it's really exciting.
That is very exciting. Again, congratulations on that. The other mission, no problem. The other mission that I'm really excited about is Icaros. It's the interplanetary kite craft accelerated by radiation in the sun. Launched in 2010. This was the first spacecraft to successfully demonstrate solar sail technology. Again, Jax is behind that. That's what an incredible accomplishment.
Yeah, so human space program, satellite launch vehicle, and also in space science, we are working on challenging missions. And some of the examples are the ones that you mentioned. And Icaros is another one. And for the moon part, we are launching a spacecraft called SLIM mission, Smart
Yes.
Lander for Investigating the Moon, that is scheduled for launch in 2021. And we will be demonstrating a pinpoint landing technology on the spacecraft. And for Mars, we are now developing MMX, that's Martian Moon Exploration Mission. That will be visiting not the Mars itself, but the Martian moons, Phobos and Deimos. And so the purpose is to elucidate the origin of the Martian moons and then also the evolution of Mars. So these kind of activities will compensate the entire space science for planetary science in the framework of international collaboration. So I am very lucky to be part of this excitement together with all the partners of the space exploration.
That is wonderful. And I understand too, you mentioned MMX. I believe that it is actually going to collect a sample from Phobos to return
Yes.
that to Earth.
Exactly. So, yeah, we have already, I think with the Hayabusa 1 and the Hayabusa 2, we have acquired the technologies of sample return from like a lower gravity objects like asteroid and Phobos and Deimos, and of course this will be a Phobos sample return, and compared to the Martian gravity level, it's of course much smaller, so we can apply the technologies that I consider very matured already from Hayabusa and Hayabusa 2 to the MMX mission. So I am very looking forward to seeing the results.
That's amazing. And again, in all these missions, there's still even more exciting ones. I believe there's one called JUICE. It's designed to explore Jupiter icy moons. And that one, again, you're working with partnership, I believe, with ESA, the European Space Agency, and the USA.
Yeah, exactly. So all of these space science missions, majority of them are done in an international partnership.
Wonderful.
So, you know, we are working with NASA, ESA, CNES, DLR, and other space agencies in this effort. So not only the Human Space Program, which I am in right now, Institute of Space and Astronautical Science, ISAS team has been working really closely with all the scientists, engineers around the world to acquire a very beneficial outcome in space science.
That's wonderful. Now, we just witnessed just a couple weeks ago, really, the successful launch of SpaceX Crew Dragon Demo 1 test. And I understand that you have JAXA will be sending an astronaut on the first operational SpaceX Crew Dragon mission, Crew 2, perhaps later this year. What's the response been to that, to SpaceX in Japan, if I can ask?
Yeah, it's been really exciting to see the SpaceX launch, and has always been in the past. Mm-hmm. Elon Musk's team has done an incredible job of developing a launch vehicle in such a low cost, and the human part is very exciting. So Ichinoguchi is scheduled to, to fly on the the first operational Crew Dragon. So of course, whenever a Japanese astronaut launches on a spacecraft, it creates a lot of attention and excitement among the people in Japan. So this is another very exciting one, and very different. Of course, it's the first time that a Japanese astronaut will be on board a commercial spacecraft that was made in the United States. So yeah, I'm really anxious to see that. Very excited.
That is going to be exciting. I want to ask this too, because again, you mentioned the beginning, you were just 5 years old when you saw Apollo 11 land on the moon, and you decided to pursue your dream. For, I guess, aspiring astronauts out there that maybe think that dream isn't attainable, what would you tell them? How would you encourage this generation to go for it, to try to become an astronaut?
Yeah, when I was 5 years old, I saw the Apollo 11 lunar landing. And at the time, I had a strong longing for flying in space. And I thought it was impossible for a small boy in Japan to fly in space because there were no Japanese astronauts. But I was really interested in space and aeronautics. And I studied hard in science, math, and then studied aeronautics. And as a result, I was able to become an engineer in the airline industry, and then I was able to eventually become an astronaut candidate. So find who you are and what you're really interested in. And from that, set a clear goal, and even if you fail, never give up, and a dream will come true. And thanks to the international collaboration, there will be a lot more people from all over the world who will join the International Space Exploration. The ISS International Space Exploration Program celebrates 20 years anniversary this year of continuous human presence. Wow. And with that partnership, we will continue to explore space internationally to the moon and Mars and beyond. So I hope many of you will be interested in working and flying in space together.
Wonderful. My last question, if I may, would you ever like to go to space again someday?
Yeah, of course. It's my dream. Although I thought that each time when I flew, I thought it was my last flight because I put 100% of my energy into one of them. And I'll be trying to do the same thing if I can get to fly in space again.
Well, that's wonderful. Again, I want to congratulate JAXA for just all your wonderful accomplishments. Dr. Wakata, I want to thank you for taking time to join us today. Again, domo arigato.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Your space journey.
Well, I really enjoyed my interview today with Dr. Wakata, and I love hearing about the current and future amazing efforts of JAXA. If you'd like to learn more, just go to their website at global.jaxa.jp. I want to thank Dr. Wakata for joining me. Most importantly, I want to thank you for tuning in today. We really appreciate that. If you could share this episode with a friend, we'd appreciate that too. Meanwhile, thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time. God bless.